In that our Messiah is Jewish, what is behind Christian anti-Semitism?
This impeached Trump movement is a Jew coup. And the American people better wake up to it really fast, because this thing is moving now towards a vote in the House and then a trial in the Senate.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today we examine Christian anti-Semitism. That is, professing Christians expressing hatred for the Jewish people. This is nothing new, but with the popularity of the internet, this sentiment is spreading around the world quickly. Jan is joined by a fellow warrior in the battle against it, Lori Cardoza Moore, one of our conference speakers back in September of 2019. Here is Jan Markell.
You know how many times I hear Jewish comics on television mocking my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? How about Bill Maher? How many anti-Christian, bigoted statements has Bill Maher made on HBO? Just think of the Jewish comics that lambast and just denigrate Jesus Christ, Christianity, morality, and they're Jewish comics. How many Jewish-produced TV shows mock Christianity?
Over 70% of Jews, if not more, support abortion in this country, support same-sex marriage.
I'm talking about the attacks on Christianity.
Yes, the persecution of Christians, not just in America, but around the world.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation, Jewish.
Yes.
ACLU, Jewish.
ADL?
ADL, Jewish. Go down the list, who attacks Christianity? Right-wing Watch, Jewish. The only reason for Right Wing Watch's existence is to smear Christians.
And welcome to the program, Christian Anti-Semitism. Yes, it really does exist. Now, one of my speakers at Understanding the Times 2019 was Lori Cardoza Moore from Proclaiming Justice to the Nations. And Lori and I both have a concern about the rising anti-Semitism in the world, and some of us have it in our own backyard, and particularly if there's a college campus near us. You can bet they are not friendly to either Israel or the Jewish people. But when so-called Christians join in, and can I say join into the Jew bashing, to be real blunt here, we find it simply deplorable. Worse, when one calls themselves an evangelical Christian, even a witnessing Christian, and even a pastor of a church, such as Rick Wiles of True News, then Lori Cardoza Moore and I decided perhaps we should do some radio on what's been going on, at least online. And if you're not online, you might not be hearing a lot about this. We're going to talk about it for the greater portion of the hour. Lori Cardoza Moore, welcome back to the program.
Jan, it is always a pleasure to be back here with you, to be on the radio with my sister, my partner in this mission to educate and activate Christians, giving them a biblical perspective of these times that we live in and our responsibility to Israel and to the Jewish people.
You are the producer of actually an award-winning documentary. It's The Forgotten People, Christianity and the Holocaust. I've been the writer of the Anita Dittman story, Trapped in Hitler's Hell, True Story of a Holocaust Survivor. Both of us recognize some of Rick Wiles' outrageous statements to be similar, quite frankly, my listening audience, to what Christians probably spoke, heard throughout history, that incited the violent pogroms against the Jewish people, certainly incited the Holocaust of the 1930s and 40s. I have family members who fled the pogroms of Lithuania a long time ago. Perhaps some of this was even said during the Spanish Inquisition. All I know, Lori, is words have consequences, and saying the kinds of things, and we'll play some more clips here, that internet broadcaster Rick Wiles would be saying, these words have consequences.
Absolutely. And, you know, you bring up a very important point for us to regard what's happening from a historical perspective. My ancestors, you brought up about the Inquisition, my ancestors were forced to convert to Catholicism during the time of the Inquisition, and for 500 years, my ancestors had to hide their identity of being Jewish because of fear of what Christians throughout history have said, just like Rick Wiles. And if you look at the comments that Rick has made, they are very similar to the comments that are made by Christians, that have been made by Christians historically. We can look back to Martin Luther. In fact, Adolf Hitler used the writings out of Martin Luther's own book, The Jews and Their Lies. And what did Rick Wiles, what is he espousing? He's accusing the Jews of being liars, deceivers, all the same anti-Semitic tropes we have seen historically are being recited out of his mouth. And as I said, Hitler took excerpts from The Jews and Their Lies written by Martin Luther, and he legitimized burning down 1,000 synagogues on Kristallnacht. It was those words that incited the pogrom of the Holocaust prior to the extermination of 6 million men, women, and children. It was those words, those similar words or accusations that were lobbed against the Jews in Europe.
And I'm going to quote you a little bit here in this segment, Lori, but before I do that, I have to raise the question, and perhaps it's a rhetorical question. What do they do with the Jewish Messiah? What did they do with Romans 9, 10, and 11, where you hear Paul's heart cry for the Jewish people? What did they do with the fact that our Bible was written almost exclusively by Jewish people? What do they do with the concept in the Bible that salvation is of the Jews? I just cannot comprehend how, and folks, we're kind of referring this hour, granted, anti-Semitism in general is just on the rampage, but Christian anti-Semitism coming from professing believers, professing evangelicals. Let me just play one more clip here quickly just to further illustrate. And here we hear this particular program. Again, this is the True News outfit out of Florida that the Jews are really perpetrating the final solution of the Palestinian people.
And now President Trump, at the behest of the Zionists, cuts off all of the food. Where do you get your food now? Where do you get it? You're trapped in a refugee camp.
Absolutely.
And there's no food going to be sent in. Listen, the Jews are getting ready for the final solution of the Palestinian people. They want to eradicate them. I'm telling you, Doc, if they get their way, they're going to eradicate the Palestinians. That's where this is going. I know that sounds extreme, but what they're doing is extreme. If Benjamin Netanyahu got his way, he would eradicate the Palestinian people. The early Zionists said that they had to eradicate the Arabs.
Lori, the fact is that the Arab population in the borders of Israel may be the freest, most prosperous Arab community in the region, at least free from persecution is what I mean.
Rick Wiles has no idea what he is talking about. He is espousing what the same Arabs espouse at the Christ at the Czech.
Yeah.
And the Bethlehem Bible College, he is reciting and restating. We were over there, Jan. We filmed a documentary called Boycott This. We went and spoke with the Arabs. We spoke with Arabs who live in the Palestinian-controlled areas. We spoke with Arabs who live in Israel. And the Arabs, the Muslims, the Christian Arabs, say that they would rather live in Israel because they know that they're going to have water. They know that they're going to have electricity. They don't get those things. There's two pastors in Bethlehem. One of them has been shot at. They've had rocks thrown at them, rocks thrown at their congregants on the way to go to church. Tell me this, Rick Wiles. How come over 80% of Christians who lived in Bethlehem, these are believers, these are not Arab-only Christians. These are Christians who lived in the area, and they fled. Over 80% have fled since Oslo, since 1993, when the Israeli government gave Bethlehem, what the world calls the West Bank, or portions of Judea and Samaria, over to the Arabs, to the Palestinian Authority, so they could govern themselves. It is not the Israeli government governing over Bethlehem. It is the Palestinian Authority.
That's right.
Christians are being persecuted in the Palestinian Authority area. It's not at the hand of the Israelis. And this is where he is deceiving Christians with his rhetoric. He has no clue what he is talking about. He hasn't done the research. He has already formed his opinion, and that's the opinion that he is espousing to with his audience. It is absolutely absurd. There is nothing to substantiate on. And the question I ask Rick Wiles, what does he do with all the prophets? What does he do with what God spoke to Moses in the Torah, the first five books of Moses, where he laid everything out for all of history? Even in the prophets, we have like Ezekiel in chapter 20. The Lord said, then you shall know that I am the Lord when I bring you into the land of Israel into the country for which I raised my hand in an oath to give your fathers. That is the same God that we worship today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He changes not. He made a covenant to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants forever. And Rick Wiles mocks that covenant by saying that that is the God of the Old Testament. That's old. The God that we serve is not that same God.
I want to read a couple of paragraphs because you've sent out some press releases, and I want to talk about them. And folks, you can sign up for those if you'll visit pjtn.org. That stands for Proclaiming Justice to the Nations. I referred to one of her films, The Forgotten People, Christianity and the Holocaust. Find out info about that at pjtn.org. If you're interested in Anita Dittman products, you've heard Anita on this program for years. Find more info at olivetreeviews.org in our store, olivetreeviews.org. Just look for the Trapped in Hitler's Hell products there. Lori, I want to refer to something because you've sent out a number of press releases, and I'm thankful that you're doing that. And you say this in one of them: sadly, Christian and anti-Semites throughout history do not read their Bibles, but instead have altered God's word to justify their hatred and bloody libelous attacks against our Jewish brethren. These Christians say they serve God, but which God do they serve? It is certainly not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then you say, let's bring this up here to some more current events, though one is in 2018, and you say, last year, on October 27th, the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, and earlier this year, again 2019, the Poway Synagogue at San Diego were both attacked by anti-Semitic Christian nationalists. It is the type of propaganda spewed by Rick Wiles that incites violence. First, Lori, I want you to sort of define the term Christian nationalist. These men who perpetrated these synagogue attacks, and more recently in New Jersey with some Jews killed in a New Jersey Orthodox Jewish neighborhood, they were not true Christians. And we need to be careful not to be calling evil righteous, but you use the term Christian nationalist.
That's the term that they use for themselves. And Christian nationalists, for the audience, they would have been supporters of Hitler, and they were. There was a segment during the time that Hitler came to power in Germany, there were confessing Christians, yes, followers of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, mm-hmm, and then there were Christian nationalists. And these were Christians who made Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich their God. They believed that they were a superior people. It's kind of like what we saw with the apartheid in South Africa, people who had the mentality that were superior than anybody else. That is what a Christian nationalist is. And when those two incidents occurred, of course, I started immediately digging in to find out everything I could about these individuals. And these two individuals, Poway and Tree of Life, had both on their social media quoted New Testament scriptures, the same scriptures that you hear anti-Semites espouse against the Jews, that they're of their father, Satan. Those same scriptures are cited by these same people that profess this hatred toward the Jews. They have forgotten that God made an eternal covenant.
That's right.
And when we take the New Testament and create our own Bible and our own history from what we read into the New Testament, instead of seeing the New Testament as a continuum, a validation of the covenant that God made, what he spoke to Moses in the Torah, what he promised the prophets, the New Testament is that revelation of what was prophesied before coming to fruition. But unfortunately, Rick Wiles takes, as he did in the opening segment that you aired, he named all these Jewish organizations that are run by members of the Jewish community, but he never talked about the Jews that we work with. And these are Jews who are people of faith, just like we are people of faith as Christians. We are both equally concerned about what's happening to our country and the direction that our country is heading. By the comments that Rick Wiles makes, he blankets all Jews. It's not going to be surprising. And if we see any more incidents occurring in the United States by these supposed Christian nationalists, Rick Wiles is going to have to give an answer. We're all going to be judged one day. And
right.
Rick doesn't see. We're all going to be judged on how we treated Israel.
That's right.
And that's the one thing he leaves out because he doesn't understand the totality of God's word.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. We're going to be featuring for the hour here Lori Cardoza Moore for the second half of the programming. We're going to play her conference message that she gave back on September the 21st. I'll have her set that stage in just a few minutes here. I just want to say one thing here, too, and then I want to play another clip. Part of the problem here is that this is what happens when one's eschatology or theology of the last days is off base, and it's why I keep pushing the importance of understanding God's plan for the last days as outlined in the Bible. No, all prophecy isn't history, as preterism teaches. Preterism would teach that all prophecy happened in 70 AD. They would also believe in replacement theology, the Church is Israel. No, we aren't in the millennium now, as most denominations teach. That would be known as amillennialism, and that would also teach replacement theology, the Church is the new Israel. No, the Church has not replaced Israel, which is, again, replacement theology, which is the statement of faith of most denominations today. No, the Church is not going to make the world perfect, as kingdom now dominionism teaches, and many within the New Apostolic Reformation teach. And again, they too would hold, not exclusively, but some within dominionism would hold to replacement theology, the Church is the new Israel. All I'm saying in that long paragraph I just gave is that what you believe about the last days matters, because if you're caught up in amillennialism, then you're going to more easily buy for some of the nonsense that's being spewed online. I want to play one more clip. And I think what caught the attention of Lori, myself, and for that matter, thousands, tens of thousands of more people watching things online was the fact that the mess in Washington is being called by this gentleman that we're referring to in this segment a Jew coup. Here you can hear it in its entirety.
And so they're pushing the agenda because they have control of Washington. They have control of the Trump administration. Donald Trump is owned by the Jews. That's the way the Jews work. They are deceivers. They plot. They lie. They do whatever they have to do to accomplish their political agenda. This impeached Trump movement is a Jew coup. And the American people better wake up to it really fast, because this thing is moving now towards a vote in the House and then a trial in the Senate.
Okay, again, this is on the internet television program known as True News. I think it's not so true, but anyway, the host is Rick Wiles, who's also a pastor, and then he's got some cronies with him. I've played a clip of Doc Burkhardt in the past where he asks people if they've been pro-Israel to confess that sin to the Lord. I've played his prayer where you can just say along with him, repenting for being a friend of Israel, and again, Lori and I just felt enough is enough. When we start hearing of a Jew coup, unfortunately, that's shades of 1938, and both she and I have studied this enough to know that that's a haunting type of a statement to listen to. Go ahead, Lori.
Absolutely. It's very frightening, Jan, as you had mentioned. It's those types of anti-Semitic tropes that have incited violence against Jews. It incited the pogroms in Russia. We saw the Inquisition in Spain. Of course, we just talked about Kristallnacht in Germany. This is because people who espouse to be students of the Bible, and here's the interesting thing, when you listen to Rick speak, he's not quoting scripture. He's basing his belief on theology. When we were over there in Israel filming, I was standing on a hillside looking down at the Balata refugee camp that Rick Wiles is, I'm assuming he's referencing. He didn't use the name, but I know that refugee camp because I asked the guide that was with us. I pointed out an area of territory, of land, that was vacant. There was green grass because it was spring, and there was the Balata refugee camp where the Arabs have kept their own people living in squalor three generations to continue to facilitate the hatred, the narrative, the false accusation that Israel is an occupying force. Israel is only occupying what God gave to her. But when I asked the guy, what about this land over here to the left? Whose territory is that? Is that the Israeli territory? He said, no. He said, that belongs to the Palestinian Authority. I said, well, why wouldn't they build high-rise condominiums or apartments and take these poor people out of their squalor, give them some dignity, or build an infrastructure of business to give these people jobs? Because I did interview a woman from Jericho who had to go through the checkpoint every day. And I asked her, are you prevented from getting to work in Judea at this plant, this Israeli plant where you're paid, where your friends work? And I said, Are you prevented to get to your job on a daily basis? And if Israel gives up this land, what happens to you? She said, no. She looked at me like I was crazy. What are you talking about? I'm not stopped when I come through the checkpoint. And she said to me, if this job, this business has to move, she said, my family will die. There is no work in the Palestinian-controlled area. If Rick Wiles really cared about these Arabs that he supposedly says he cares about, why isn't he helping those people and holding the Palestinian Authority accountable for the billions, how many, $34 billion since Oslo that's been given to this cause? And where does the money end up? Obviously, Rick didn't go through the affluent neighborhoods in the Palestinian-controlled areas, where some of their leadership are living in multi-million and billion-dollar homes. Where's that in his narrative?
Want another quote from you here and some of the items you've sent out online, and you say Wiles has recently come out attacking Zionists. He referred to global Zionism as the fourth beast from the Old Testament book of Daniel. His hatred towards Jews has blinded him to know how to rightly divide the word of God. To suggest that the author of the book of Daniel, a Jew, was saying that global Zionism is the fourth beast revealed as an example of how biblically out of touch Rick Wiles is with the word of God and instead is injecting his own theology into the biblical narrative. And then you say, Wiles has stated that Zionism will be the evil force that takes over the world in the last days and persecutes the body of Christ and makes war with the saints. And it's not Muslims that are going to kill us, it is the Jews. This is coming from an organization that would identify as evangelical Christian, and that's why we're alarmed. Quite frankly, there are things to be encouraged about. Right before Christmas, President Trump came out and signed an executive order targeting anti-Semitism on college campuses. The order was designed to target the Boycott, Divest, and Sanction Israel movement. Article says President Trump plans to sign executive order to combat anti-Semitism on college campuses by threatening to cut off federal funds to schools that don't curb discrimination against Jewish students, according to senior administration officials. So there are some very encouraging things going on at the same time coming out of the Trump administration and his strong stand with Israel. And I want to make a quick announcement here simply because the programming today is pre-recorded because, folks, if you are Olive Tree supporters in the Southern California area, I want to invite you to attend a couple of meetings that are coming up in that area. I hope to minister at some Southern California venues Sunday night, January 19th, 5 p.m., 412 Church, San Jacinto. Wednesday, January 22nd, in the evening, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Happening now, Saturday, January 25th, please mark down Proximity Prophecy Conference held at Calvary Chapel, East Anaheim. And you need to register for that at Calvary Chapel, Tustin, California. cctustin.org. Other speakers for that are Barry Stagner, Jack Hibbs, Amir Sarfati. Again, Saturday, January 25th. And this weekend, I'm at Rock Harbor Church in Bakersfield, California, Sunday morning, January 12th, 10:30 a.m. They meet at Liberty High School. I'll do their Wednesday service as well, January 15th. This is Pastor Brandon Holthouse. The Wednesday service meets at River Lakes Ranch Community Center. Call my office to get more specifics on these various meetings that I have coming up in Southern California. Really hope to meet you at some of them, and particularly Proximity, with a number of speakers the entire day at Calvary Chapel East Anaheim, sponsored by Calvary Chapel Tustin, California. Lori, we've got a few minutes left. I want to give you the platform. I also want you, in the couple of minutes we have left, to introduce your message you gave at Understanding the Times 2019 back on September 21st. And how does your message that you gave tie to what we're talking about right now?
Well, Jen, you bring up a great question. For those of the audience that were there for the conference, I exposed the anti-Semitic, anti-American, anti-Judeo-Christian, unconstitutional, pro-Islamic content being peddled to our children in our school curriculum, in our textbooks all over this country. We have seen a rise of anti-Semitism. You were just talking about addressing anti-Semitism on college campuses, but it's not just on college campuses now, Jan. We see the rise of anti-Semitic incidents occurring on our K-12 campuses. We see the propaganda that is inciting the same violence on college campuses is being given to our children there was a mother that had brought a list of spelling words to me. Her daughter is a third grader in a local school. One of the spelling words for a third grade child was the prayer of conversion to Islam, called the Shahada prayer. This is what's being taught to our children. This is why we see this growing anti-Semitic movement happening within the next generation. Rick brought up about Zion, that these Zionists are going to be the end time beast.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Jan, because if Rick would just look up how many times Zion is mentioned in the Bible, in the Word of God. And in Isaiah 51, God said, "And I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people." We have to be so very careful what we read, who we listen to, what we are allowing to be taught to our children in our public school system. All we have to do is read the Word of God. But unfortunately, there are people who take the Bible out of its proper context, write their own theology into the text of Scripture. The Bible is a book written to Israel, for Israel, and about Israel. And Christians, those who became believers, who were Gentiles, who were believers in the faith, who accepted Yeshua as Messiah, Paul talked about this in Galatians and in Ephesians, that they would become the commonwealth of Israel. They would become part of the nation of Israel. And that's not the same nation that Rick Wiles espouses to. He said with his own words that he believes that the Gentiles now are the new Israel. The Christians who embrace Yeshua as Messiah become part of the commonwealth of Israel. They become part of the nation. They do not replace Israel.
I think the root of a lot of the issues we're dealing with here would be that awful replacement theology. The church is the new Israel, which is a false teaching. Folks, if you're in a church like that, I encourage you to run as fast as you can, because God is so grieved by that kind of a teaching that the church has replaced Israel. If God can break his covenant with the Jewish people, he can break his covenant with you, the Christian, as well. I mean, he's a covenant maker. Just as importantly, he's a covenant keeper. Keeps his covenant with the Jews. He keeps his covenant with the Christian. And that's part of the emphasis Lori Cardoza Moore and I are trying to make this half hour. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, the next half hour, we're going to go right into Lori's message that she gave back on September 21st, right outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota, Understanding the Times 2019. We still have CDs and DVDs of that entire event. Learn more about Lori at pjtn.org, pjtn.org. Don't go away. Coming right back.
Thank you for your faithful support of this radio ministry now spanning 20 years. Write to us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We can be reached by mail by writing to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. More with Jan and Lori in a moment. Thank you for your faithful radio support over many years. Understanding the Times Radio is now in its 20th year, reaching coast to coast on almost 900 radio stations and around the world electronically. We have tried to broadcast hope and encouragement in a world that has grown dark. We have tried to show you that headlines are a herald of His coming and that things are all falling into place. If we have made a difference in your life, remember us prayerfully and financially. We have a media team that works daily on your behalf. The King is coming, perhaps even today. We now play Lori Cardoza Moore's message at Understanding the Times 2019. Her ministry, Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, is on the front lines, as is Olive Tree Ministries, battling against anti-Semitism in the church, in politics, and even in school curriculum. We now present Lori's message back on September 21st, 2019.
This conference was kind of all arranged and finalized some 6 months ago or so, and I said, wait a minute. You folks need to learn a little bit more about Lori Cardoza Moore proclaiming justice to the nation, filmmaker, special envoy to the United Nations, battling for the Jewish people, tirelessly combating anti-Semitism, and with greater fervor than anybody I know, trying to unseat Ilhan Omar. Welcome, Lori Cardoza Moore.
Did you hear that, Ilhan Omar? You will rue the day you quoted those anti-Semitic statements. We will not stand by. God bless you all. You know, I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell everybody, you would not believe Minnesota. We're all out here in the country saying, how the heck did Ilhan Omar get elected? Where was everybody? Well, we all know now. The rest is history. But thank God that you're here. And Jan, thank you so much for hosting me and inviting me to be here with all of you. Okay, so I have 30 minutes, and I promised I would stick to that 30 minutes. So we're going to talk about what's going on and how you can get involved. You guys have been educated. You've heard all the scriptures. And we're going to talk about the rising threat of anti-Semitism and how our children are being indoctrinated in our public schools and private schools, including Christian schools across this country. So we have to be educated, we have to be informed. That's so critically important to winning this battle. This is, ladies and gentlemen, the fight for our generation. I want you to think, as we go through this presentation I do today, how God puts you here. Not just here physically or in the state that you live in, but that God put life into your physical body. He gave you your soul and brought you to this place for such a time as this. We have been called, ladies and gentlemen, by Almighty God, not to sit back when we watch our nation being taken over by anti-Semites, by people who hate America. It is our responsibility. If you look across the landscapes of Europe and you look at the cemeteries where our soldiers are buried, what do you see lining the landscape? Crosses and what else? Magen Davids, Jews and Christians who've been fighting this battle together. And this battle is important in our generation as well. We're going to go through, I want to show you just what your children are being educated with. As you know, our mission is to educate Christians about our biblical responsibility to stand with our Jewish brethren and defend the state of Israel against the rise of global anti-Semitism. We accomplish this goal by producing award-winning documentary films, and we broadcast them in over 200 nations, reaching over 2 billion viewers each week on Daystar TV. As we educate, we activate. And that's why you are here today. So I want you to become familiar with CARE. How many of you know who CARE is? Council on American Islamic Relations? We have got a great educated and informed group. But this is a quote I want you to look at. This is by Ibrahim Hooper, who is the national director, and this was written in Minnesota Star Tribune. This is what Ibrahim said. Quote, I wouldn't want to create the impression that I wouldn't like the government of the U.S. to be Islamic at some time in the future, but I'm not going to do anything violent to promote that. I'm going to use education. Did you notice what he said? I'm not going to do anything violent. Wow, from an Islamist. How did we get here? We all remember Yom Kippur War, 1973. Remember 1974, we had the OPEC oil embargo? Do we all remember sitting in odd and even lines, odd and even days to get our gas? Well, it was because the United States stood with Israel in the Yom Kippur War, and the Arabs didn't like that. So OPEC nations wanted access to our schools of higher learning because after they turned the oil back on, they were afraid that maybe our children would have the wrong impression. And of course, the Department of Education was started under President Carter in 1976, and 1980 pro-U.S. sentiment begins its decline. In our research, ladies and gentlemen, as we've been reviewing textbooks and content, it was 1982 when we started to see anti-Americanism creep into our textbooks. Here's the problem. We all know Bill and Melinda Gates, don't we? Do we all know Common Core? Yes. So Bill and Melinda Gates presented at the Moscow summit in 2006 the concept of Common Core. They convinced the United Nations in their Globalization of Education initiative to adopt this concept, and that way the UN would push all the member states to adopt Common Core. The United States did. So, of course, who are they pushing Common Core through? Pearson Publishing. How many of you are aware of what Pearson is doing? Do you know that Pearson owns 80% of the textbooks in the United States of America? Sounds like they have a monopoly on our children's education, don't you think? They're buying up all the smaller publishing companies, and they're not changing the name. They're using the old name because they don't want us to know. Here's a quote from Ronald Reagan. Many of us remember this. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Here are the focal areas we're going to talk about. Anti-American, anti-West, anti-Judeo-Christian, the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, Holocaust revisionism, pro-Islamist indoctrination, roadblocks by local school officials, and the unconstitutionality of U.S. textbooks, a legal perspective, and then, of course, the proposed recommendations for next steps. Anti-American and anti-West, these are false or distorted content in textbooks, leads to the following, and we all have seen this. Our students are given the impression that America is not worthy of pride or loyalty. Students' understanding of America's position in the world has been distorted, and American students' perception of the culture and history is minimized. Here is an example that I found as I was researching about Minnesota and education, curriculum. Here is an example of what I found on one of your schools. This is Lake Harriet Upper Elementary School, Minneapolis. Do you all remember this? This was earlier this year. Anti-Semitic graffiti was spray-painted on the doors of the school. Here is a textbook by Pearson Publishers. This is an AP edition. Now, you're going to see some slides with textbooks from Tennessee, from Florida. Trust me, ladies and gentlemen, these textbooks may have a different cover, but they're all basically the same textbook being used in every state across this country. This AP edition is an objectionable social justice handbook in direct contrast to the founding principles of our nation as defined in the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution, therefore in violation of our founding principles. Now, this is a Florida state statute. Here we have in this textbook, which is a McGraw-Hill, it's being used in Florida too, but around the country. In this textbook, the author states that treaties on international law are the supreme law of the land. Thank you so much, the Constitution. Were we not educated? There is no treaty, international treaty, that supersedes the U.S. Constitution. That's what we were taught. But that's not what's being taught to our children. You saw. Here's another textbook. This is World History, McGraw-Hill. Quote, because humans rejected Allah's earlier messengers, Allah sent his final revelation to Muhammad. This delegitimizes Christianity and Judaism by turning Jesus and Abraham into Muslims and marginalizing them. You know there's a school here in Minnesota, somebody just sent me an email about this, that they are now saying that God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is the same God as Allah. And that is what is being taught to your children. So here's some of the Holocaust revisionism, the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel content that we found. And of course, we saw that it's anti-Semitic revisionism, which is stereotypic. Pearson's removal of Judaism as a world religion, anti-Israel revisionism, or the delegitimization of Israel, Israel's refusal to return land that God gave to them, and of course, the Holocaust revisionism, no Holocaust, no Israel, and the Holocaust is just one of many genocides. Here are three other textbooks. Pearson textbooks are objectionable in methodology and presentation with regards to anti-Semitic and anti-Israel sentiment and Holocaust revisionism. Now, these textbooks that you see, one of them of which, The Cultural Landscape, was a textbook that we had a problem with in Williamson County, Tennessee, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. This textbook, the role that Judaism played throughout the centuries as the first monotheistic world religion, is minimized and ultimately eliminated as the Judeo-Christian foundation of the United States of America. This country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. There was a man by the name of Haim Salomon who bankrolled the American Revolution for George Washington. In fact, in their final battle, Washington went to him and told him if they didn't receive the funding to provide the boots and the food, the resources for his soldiers, they were going to lose the war. And Haim Salomon stepped up to the plate. Haim Salomon, a wealthy Jewish banker, died without a dime to his name. But he paid to make America the nation, the great nation that it is. This learning outcome excludes Judaism as being one of the largest world religions. This is dangerous because this is the foundation of our faith. You can't call yourself a Christian without Judaism, right? Who do we serve? A Jewish Messiah. We have to make sure that what our textbooks and curriculum are communicating is accurate, especially as it pertains to our knowledge of history and, of course, our reference, which is the Bible. Here's a world history textbook. This textbook delegitimizes Israel's historic connection to the land of Canaan, the Promised Land, later named Israel. The use of the name Palestine is not historical ignorance, but rather a concerted effort to remove all traces of Jewish ties to the land. According to the author, Abraham, the founder of the Hebrews, migrated his family to Palestine. What? He came from Ur of the Chaldees, and where did he go? To Canaan. There was no Palestine, because when did Palestine enter the narrative in history? After the Romans. I heard that out there, my history buffs. Then we have Moses upon leaving Egypt, when he led his people back to Palestine without ever setting foot in the Promised Land. Palestine after Egypt? No, we still haven't gotten to the Roman period. But you see how they're manipulating the text of the books, the curriculum, to teach our children? And this is being implanted. Here's another textbook. The example below illustrates classic Islamist Holocaust revisionism and suggests that without the Holocaust, there would be no Israel, and therefore the land was taken away from the indigenous people, the Palestinian Arabs. As it says in this quote on page 476, as the horrors of the Holocaust were revealed, worldwide support for an independent Jewish homeland increased. On May 14, 1948, Jewish leader David Ben-Gurion proclaimed the establishment of the State of Israel. Now, what's wrong with this statement? It makes it sound like it was a Jew who decided to declare Israel a state, right? But what happened 6 months before? The United Nations voted to what? Partition. The United Nations voted to establish the State of Israel. On page 559, quote, in 1948, five Arab nations invaded the newly independent Israel and were defeated. Here's some pro-Islamist indoctrination. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is crossing the line into indoctrination and peddling unconstitutional content to our children. The writing, production, and selection of textbooks and instructional materials are primarily influenced by American Islamic groups and leaders. A majority of public school textbooks are purchased from outside of the U.S., and the perspective being taught is monolithic. Here's a quote from Shabir Mansouri. He is a publisher in 37 states for Pearson Publishers. This is his quote. I am waging a bloodless revolution promoting world cultures and faiths in America's classroom. That's like Ibrahim Hooper. Bloodless? Do we use those words when we're talking about educating our children? Of course, Shabir Mansouri, who is the founder and director of the Institute on Religious and Civic Values, formerly known as the Council on Islamic Education. He's controlling the editing of our curriculum, our textbooks. Here's another book, Pro-Islamist Indoctrination. Shabir Mansouri, as I mentioned, is the editor of the Multicultural Perspective of Pearson, and as I stated, published textbooks in 37 states. Here's Pearson. You know, when we first did our research on Pearson back in 2012, Pearson, on its website, said their statement was to change the way America thinks. Now, let me just give you a little information about Pearson. Pearson is not a U.S.-based textbook publishing company. They're British-based. This is their mission statement. They produce or publish textbooks for schools all over the world. But they want to change the way America thinks? What's wrong with the way we think, ladies and gentlemen? Pearson Publishers, as I stated, is British-based. Their shareholders include the governments of Qatar, Libya, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey. And Pearson owns, as I mentioned earlier, 80% of the textbook companies in the U.S., and it is the driving force behind Common Core. Omar Ahmed, co-founder of CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, unindicted co-conspirator in the largest terrorist fundraising operation in the history of the United States of America, who's involved in educating our children, we should all sleep better at night. Islam isn't in America to be equal to any other faith, but to become dominant. The Quran should be the highest authority in America, and Islam, the only accepted religion on earth. This is what we experienced. Roadblocks by local school officials, and for any of you who've been involved in fighting this on the local level, I know you have war stories to share. Local school superintendents and school boards block tax-paying citizens' attempts to expose the K-12 content in textbooks pertaining to flawed and erroneous information about Judaism, Israel, the Arab-Israeli conflict, America, and Christianity, and inaccuracies and biases in information about Islam, Islamism, Islamists, and their worldwide influence. We continue on, and we had an incident in Newton, Massachusetts. I don't know if any of you have been following what's happened in Newton, but there were parents and citizens who have tried to take back local control, and they are being stonewalled over and over. Then we had another incident in San Diego County where their school district, CARE, was allowed to provide educational resource material on Islam to teach to the students, and the parents, five parents, decided to rise up and file a lawsuit against their school district. And guess what happened? They ended up, in March of 2019, Freedom of Conscience Defense Fund reached an unprecedented settlement agreement with the San Diego Unified School District to resolve its federal lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of the district's an Islamophobia initiative. The school adopted the initiative in response to the false claims by CARE that President Trump's election triggered an outbreak of anti-Muslim bullying. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what we have seen, and the FBI has reported this. Which group of people is being targeted with attacks? The Jews. Judaism. We are seeing an increase of anti-Semitic incidents, not just on our college campuses, but K-12 as well. But these parents challenged the status quo, and guess what? The judge ruled in their favor and told CARE, get your curriculum out of the schools. Here's the legal perspective of the unconstitutionality of U.S. textbooks. The Establishment Clause of the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution holds that a practice which touches upon religion must not advance or inhibit religion in its principal or primary effect. In order for religious activity in a government forum to be in compliance with the Establishment Clause and activity, the activity must meet the following criteria. It must have a secular purpose, its primary effect must neither advance nor inhibit religion, and it must not entangle the government excessively with religion. Adolf Hitler said, "Let me control the textbooks, and I will control the state." I don't know about you all, but are we not living? Has the model not been already established, and now is it's actively working in the United States? Albert Einstein said, "The world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but by those who stand by and do nothing," which concludes. I'm coming to a close. I think I've got five more minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to just encourage you all. We took on a battle in Williamson County, Tennessee, back in 2012. We had one parent. Always remember the power of one person. We had one parent who came to us and said, "You will never believe what we're teaching our children in Williamson County schools." She brought me her son's textbook. This is a Christian family, evangelical Christian family. Her son was homeschooled. It's his first year in public school, high school. And there was a quote in a Pearson-published textbook, The Cultural Landscape, that legitimized Palestinians blowing themselves up in a Jerusalem restaurant because they were waging a war against Israeli government policies and army actions. We went to war in Williamson County. We tried to remove that textbook from the school. We went to the school board. And the school board decided that they would establish a committee to review the content in the textbook because not only was the content anti-Semitic, but it was anti-American, anti-Judeo-Christian, pro-Islamic. Well, the school board, we mobilized a media campaign, and we went to go find the low-hanging fruit. Many people like you and myself who are already listening to conservative talk radio or Christian talk radio, and we told parents, FYI, do you know what your children are learning today in your belt buckle of the Bible Christian school? When we started running those spots, we were inundated. We had over 2,000 signatures from parents and citizens, and we needed people to show up at the next school board meeting. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that night, we had standing room only. We packed the house. And you know what we told them? We told the school board members that if you do not remove this textbook from our children's school, we are going to remove you from office. And guess what? There were six up, and we brought six down. And two of them who decided who we recruited to run, who are citizens just like you, one is a former teacher, one is a doctor. They decided to run. We convinced them. I know they're in the crowd here this afternoon. Would you please, Beth, Candy, where are you? We want to give you a shout out and applaud you for your efforts. Woohoo! That's the power of one. But we can't stop there, ladies and gentlemen. I've got three DVDs. We've got to educate ourselves. We've got to educate our children. You need to sit down with your Bible study group, with your community, with your children, with your grandchildren, with your great-grandchildren. Watch these documentaries. They are historical. Even Dwight D. Eisenhower made a prophetic comment when he was liberating the concentration camps in Nazi Germany. And he said, he told everybody, document everything you see here. Because someday, someone like Pearson Publishers is going to come along and try to say the Holocaust didn't happen. We have to teach our children history. We are commanded by Almighty God to teach these things. Teach the Torah and the Exodus out of Egypt to your children and your children's children throughout their generations. And it is no less incumbent upon us. So, I love you guys. I know I've got a bunch of recruits in the room. I need for those of you who feel as if the Lord is calling your name and pointing at you and saying, this is why I raised you up. This is what I have prepared you for. We need people. The victory, the Lord gave me this strategy for the victory, and it's found in the book of Nehemiah, and I want to close with this. The Lord reminded me that when Cyrus allowed Ezra and Nehemiah to go back to the land of Israel and to go back to Jerusalem to assess the damage, Nehemiah went and observed, and he went to the leaders of districts in front of sections of the wall. Then he went to people who lived in front of other sections of the wall, and he told them all, rebuild your wall. And the Lord said to me, every district in every state across the United States is a section of the wall. Go tell my people to rebuild their section. Most people have no idea who their school board member is, or their city alderman, or their county commissioner. We have to go back, just like we did in Williamson County, and in counties across this country, and rebuild our walls. God bless you, and thank you so much.
Well, Lori's message was greatly appreciated last September 21st at our annual conference. And let me quickly say that we have plans now for our 2020 annual event. It will be Saturday and Sunday, September 26th, 27th. Saturday tickets will go on sale next summer. Saturday, we will be featuring Amir Sarfati, Joel Rosenberg, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor Barry Stagner, and Michelle Bachman. Sunday morning, September 27th, Jack Hibbs will be at Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, 9 and 11 a.m. That evening will be an evening with Joel Rosenberg. Sunday, September 27th, also at Revive Church, Brooklyn Park, formerly Brooklyn Park E-Free. Tickets are not needed for the Sunday event. Seating will be first come, first served. We talked a lot about anti-Semitism this hour, so let me go out of the program with a saying I like to use now and then. How odd of God to choose the Jews, but not so odd as those who choose the Jewish God yet spurn the Jews. I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
We are the broken. You are the healer. Jesus Redeemer.
Thank you for standing with us as we help people understand the times, contend for the faith, and become watchmen on the wall. While our times can appear dark, we believe this is a herald of His coming. Let us hear from you through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Or drop us a note through our post office box. All gifts are tax deductible. Write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. If you miss a program, you can access all programming at our website under Complete Archives, or you can watch the program on our YouTube channel. Until next week, know that everything is falling into place.